I'll give you an early Merry Christmas, too, should the Lord tarry, and we make it through the week. And if the Lord comes back, well, Merry Christmas anyway. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has arisen, and when he returns, we won't even worry about Christmas anymore. Amen. The challenges of Christmas. We're challenged with many things in the Christmas story that we read in God's Word. As Christians, we're challenged with some things, as the characters in the Bible were too. And when you think about it, Mary, peasant girl, probably young teenager, finds out she's pregnant. She's engaged to Joseph to be married. She's pregnant with him and have never known him sexually. Well, that's a challenge for Mary, and it's a challenge for Joseph because do I trust her or not? Is this real or not? And Mary had the challenge of understanding that, hey, this is all from the Holy Spirit of God. There's a challenge there, and a big one. Poor Joseph. What challenge did he have? Well, Joseph was a young carpenter, just apprentice, learning the trade and trying to learn how to be a master craftsman so he could support his future wife and their family. And Joseph had to deal with this unexpected news coming from Mary about being with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us would think, yeah, Mary, right. He had to trust God. There was a challenge to trust God through that. And as the story we go this morning, as we read in Luke chapter 2, there was a challenge for these shepherds. These shepherds were out in the field, minding their own business, tending sheep, what shepherds do. This was a rowdy bunch of guys. Probably low on the economic level. Probably not very favored out in the community either. There were some challenges with the message that the angel gave to them about the birth of Jesus. As we read this Christmas story this morning, I believe there's some challenges that come to us. And oftentimes we overlook them. But I believe as believers, as Christians, we need to evaluate, do we believe this? And if we do believe this, what are we going to do with it? You have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 20. It was said that Christmas began in the heart of God and is complete only when it reaches the heart of man. There's a lot of truth in that statement. We begin reading about the birth of Jesus. It's a beautiful story dealing with our Savior's birth. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were complete for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see what this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondered them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we thank you for Christmas. God, we know that many celebrations are man-made and the traditions. But God, the very core, the very essence is that you had a plan all along for our salvation. Christmas was always your idea to reach out in love, to give us a gift, and the gift of your Son. God, may we as your people understand that and clearly depict that through our Christmas. Father, be with your word today. Teach us, grow us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So these people, Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, the shepherds, these people in the first Christmas story all faced some extensive challenges at the birth of Christ. The first Christmas may have occurred unnoticed to most of the world, yet God chose to reveal his Son to a select few. That's amazing that God didn't go to kings and to royalty or to the wealthy. He went to the very lowest of the low to reveal his plan for salvation. So today, Christmas, as a celebration, is widely recognized by the world. But it's widely recognized as a secular holiday. But God has chosen the church, the elect of Christ Jesus, you and me. We are now challenged to live and to share the true message of Christmas. That God has sent a Son to live among us, to demonstrate his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. We are now challenged by this message of Christmas. Just as those early characters in the early Bible story in that first Christmas had challenges, we too have challenges with this Christmas. So the question comes up, how does Christmas challenge us? And I'm not talking about what food you should cook. Did you get all your presents bought yet? You know, who's coming over and who's going there, here and there for Christmas, trying to make all the relatives. And that's not the challenge I'm talking about. It's far deeper than that. See, Christmas can simply be just a celebration, or it can be a lifestyle. Are you living Christ every day? Several challenges. The first one is this, that we are challenged to believe in miracles. Listen, I'm a born-again believer who does believe in miracles. Why? Because Scripture has them all. And the greatest miracle of all is when Christ Jesus died on the cross. He came here and tapped this old boy through the Spirit of God and saved me, made me from dead sinner to alive saint. And he did that for you. When you accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, he did a miracle in your life. The greatest miracle of all is spiritually bringing you to life and saving your wretched soul, just like mine. That's the greatest miracle. Christmas. is the miracle by which God became man, the incarnation, intervening time and humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. We see this in verse 10 and 11. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" The challenges of the first Christmas participants faced have been passed on to us through the ages for all disciples of Christ. We're challenged just like they are. We're challenged to believe in miracles. What is a miracle? Wayne Grudem tells it like this. He says, "A miracle is a less common kind of God's activity in which he arouses people's awe and wonder and bears witness to himself." God brings miracles in our world, not just to bless us, but to show himself that he may be glorified. Miracles are God's activity in our world, which are supernatural in experience because the event supersedes the realm of normal pattern or sequences. A miracle intervenes in the natural order of what is common to understanding and knowledge. Christmas is a miraculous event. So what are we challenged to believe that is so miraculous about Christmas? What are we challenged to believe? Mary had her challenges. Joseph had his challenges. The shepherds had their challenges. What are we challenged with? First of all, we're challenged to believe a virgin birth. Why? History has never recorded in all of humanity of a child being born without a mommy and a daddy coming together. And I'm putting it to G-rated version. History has never recorded a virgin birth. You and I are challenged to believe in a virgin birth. That Mary was pregnated by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, God just miraculously made her pregnant. And she'd never known a man. That's a challenge. Why? Because it goes so against what we've been taught and what we know. We see in verse 35 and 34 and 35 of Luke chapter 1. It says, "Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be?' After she was told she's going to have a child. 'Since I am a virgin,' the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" What a challenge. We are challenged to believe that Mary was pregnated by the Holy Spirit of God to have the Son of God. The next thing we're challenged to believe is the incarnation, where God himself becomes man. The incarnation was the act of God by which he added to his perfect deity a human nature and a human body. See, God didn't leave anything behind. Jesus was still deity, 100%. He wasn't a demigod. He was fully God and fully man. 100% God, 100% man. God simply added to his deity a human body and a human nature. We're asked to believe the miracle of God becoming the person of Jesus Christ. God himself, through the self-miracle of the incarnation, became human just as we are human. The same way. Living, breathing, eating, bleeding, hurting, sorrowful, happy, joyful, excited. All the same things we're going through, Jesus went through. And yet he was still God. Our minds can't even begin to rationalize this concept. This supernatural miracle requires a gift of faith to believe and to accept as true. But you know what? Even if you and I do not accept that God himself became human in Jesus Christ, even if we say, well, that's impossible. I really don't believe that. I mean, Jesus was a good teacher, and he was all this, and yeah, you know, he had a good following. But you know what? I just have a hard time believing he was God in the flesh. Whether we believe it or not, it's still true. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean God's word lied about it. No, God himself came to live with us. Even if we choose not to believe it, it doesn't diminish the fact that God became human and dwelt with man on the earth. So we're challenged, not only the virgin birth, but the incarnation that God became human. That's miracles. But also, something maybe we didn't think about, the fulfillment of prophecy. Do you know how hard it is for one person to fulfill a prophecy? Thousands of years that were told thousands of years before, and here it is that it's happening later on. Just one, with Jesus fulfilled over 400 about his birth, his life, and his death. 400. What are the chances of a human being not being the Messiah who fulfilled 400 mere prophecies from the Old Testament about being the Messiah? You can't calculate it. It's impossible. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is exactly who he says that he is. And he's living proof because he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament about who he is. The fulfillment of just one prophecy is a miracle. To believe Jesus is the Messiah, Savior, and Lord is actually presented to us by Christmas. Do you believe in miracles? C.S. Lewis said, miracles or a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see. We're challenged to believe in miracles, the virgin birth, the incarnation, the fulfillment of all these prophecies. We're challenged to believe that. We also see that we're challenged by a second thing, to receive Jesus as our Savior. To receive the Messiah that God sent as our Savior. Not just to know about him, not just to know stories about him, but to know him. Not just to attend a religious ceremony about him, not just to attend religious ceremonies faithfully about him, but to know him. You can be a very good church member and be lost because you received a religion and not a relationship with Christ. See, Christmas challenges each person to be a disciple of Christ Jesus through faith and repentance of sin. We see in verse 15 and 16 of Luke 2. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Christmas is an invitation to make a life-changing, eternal decision to follow Christ as Savior. Christmas is an invitation to us. We're challenged to accept that invitation. Because the rest of the world, listen, most of the world has rejected the invitation to receive Christ as Savior. They may like Jesus' teaching. Most of them get hung up on God is love and that Jesus teaches us how to treat one another. But see, those are the surface things. There's so much more to Christ than that. The question comes, have you accepted Jesus, God's Son, as your Savior, your Redeemer, your Deliverer, your Messiah? Have you, by an act of your will, accepted God's Christmas gift of Jesus, and in His grace through faith and repentance received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. See, the challenge to receive Jesus is only and as the only avenue to the Father has been rejected by so many. Even people who celebrate Christmas, many have rejected Jesus. They have accepted a holiday, but they've rejected the Son. They've rejected the Savior. You see, the challenge to receive Jesus as the only avenue to the Father has been rejected by much of the world, but God chose the only way possible to redeem lost people to Himself. God gave Himself. There was no one worthy in the earth to die for the sins of mankind. God, in His infinite knowledge, chose before we were ever created to come join with us and die for the sins that we were committing. See, God Himself, He's the only one who is qualified to be the perfect sacrificial payment for sins, our sins, your sins, my sins. He's the only one. Christmas invites us all, regardless of who we are, where we've been, what mess up we've had in life. We're invited to receive forgiveness in Christ Jesus and become children of God. Children of God. We're invited. And the challenge is to us is, do we believe who Jesus says that He is? And do we believe it in a way of faith? To say, I claim what Jesus has done in my behalf for myself. I claim Him as my own, my Savior. See, John chapter 1, verse 12 says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. While the world may view Christmas as a celebration of family and friends and various foods and giving of gifts, we are challenged to embrace the Christmas message of God, His provision to interrupt and intervene on our behalf, and to believe that Jesus is who He says that He is, and that He forgives our sins, and we follow Him, that we pattern our life after Him, that we make this life not about ourselves, but about Him. Jesus Christ, it was said, the meeting place of eternity and time, the blending of deity and humanity, the junction of heaven and of earth. Christmas is God's statement that Jesus is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. If there were another way to go to heaven, if there were another way to go to the Father besides Jesus Christ, then God would have never sent His Son here for us. He'd have gave us various options. Well, you can do this or this or this or that, and it all counts the same. But that was never God's plan. God never had a plan B. It's always been a plan A. It's always been Jesus Christ. Have you accepted Him? That's your challenge. That's my challenge. Have you accepted Him as your Savior? You see, Jesus is either our Savior and our Lord, or we've only accepted Him to be a good person, a teacher, and a good role model. Jesus is either Lord or He's a liar, because He knew that He was not Lord, but He said that He was. Or He's a lunatic, because He was not Lord, but He actually believed Himself to be. So for you, is He Lord? Have you received Him into your life and made Him Lord? You see, He can't have Savior if He's not Lord. They go hand in hand. Are you still trying to be the Lord and the leader of your own life? Or have you totally surrendered and submitted to Christ? Christmas is God's call to the world that His Messiah has arrived. Jesus' constant message to the world was, follow me. He told, follow me, to his disciples. The hated tax collectors, Matthew, he told him, follow me. Wealthy leaders, to the poor, those who were outcast, the worst of the worst of sinners, Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Following Jesus is what makes Christmas meaningful, truly meaningful and real for us. Listen, it's not the presents. It's not the lights. It's not the fancy tree. Har, har. No. It's not the gathering of family. It's not what food and what parties we go to, what little celebrations we have. See, what makes Christmas truly Christmas for us as Christians is this relationship we have with Jesus. That is what we're challenged to accept. See, Jesus is God spelling himself out in a language that man can understand. SD Garden. That Jesus is God himself spelling out himself to us so we can understand. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? We're challenged with that. We're challenged to believe miracles about Christmas. We're challenged to believe Jesus Christ, the Christmas story. But we're also challenged in this way, and I'm closing. We're challenged with this. We're challenged to engage the world in a movement for Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't just save you because he wants to hang out with you and spend eternity with you. He does want that, but he also wants you to be a witness for him. Because when we witness for Christ, we tell the story of Jesus over and over again to our family, to our friends, to people maybe we don't even know. When we tell the story of Jesus, we glorify God. And for sadness, so many Christians, we kind of just shut our mouth when it comes because to the things of Christ, because we're afraid to offend somebody. Listen, I offend people all the time. When it's for Jesus, it's the right thing. When it's for Jesus, it's the right thing. And if I'm just offending them because I'm just being an ugly person, well, then I'm wrong. But you see, the story of Christ can be offensive to a world who wants to do what it wants to do. It's offensive. Because we're taught it's all about us. Have it your way. Have it your way. If you listen to commercials for a little while on TV or on the radio, they focus everything about you. You're the customer. You're the best thing since sliced bread, man. It's all about you, how you want it. And we're going to go the extra mile to make sure that you're satisfied. So you know what happens? We actually think life is about us. So we begin to live that it's all about us. It's about what we want and what we wanted, our dreams, our fulfillment. We want it all about us. And when we do that, our ego takes over and we begin to push God out. Because then we think the only time we need God is when we can't handle a situation. Rather than God being the source, the deliverer, the sustenance of our life. You see, we're challenged to engage this lost world in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we can't do that if we're just living for ourselves. We won't do that if we're just living for ourselves. See, Christmas challenges to lead the movement to engage the world with the message of salvation in Christ. Verse 17 and verse 18 tells us out of Luke 2. When they had seen this, what the shepherds saw Christ, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. You imagine the shepherds when they finally arrived at the manger scene and here's Mary and Joseph and there's this squirming, snot-nosed baby. He's a baby. Jesus didn't have a glowing head or anything. He was there, cold, whatever, sleeping. But when they told what the angels had said to them, He told those who were around, Mary, Joseph, a few sheep and donkeys, whatever, maybe some other people had gathered there. We don't know. But they made known to them what the angels had said. And the fulfillment of it, they were looking at Christ. They were looking at the Messiah. What the angels said were true. This is Messiah of Israel. This is the Savior of the world. Scripture says, the shepherds went back, in verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. These shepherds, stinky, gnarly shepherds, bad breath and bad teeth, left this manger scene, praising God and glorifying God, and going back through the village out to their sheep, out in the pastures. And they were praising God. You imagine people were like, what's wrong with them? Hey, man, what's going on? What are you so excited about? And they could tell the story. We just saw the Christ child. Listen, there were some angels came. There was one, and then there's a whole bunch came. And we all saw them, and we heard the message. And we didn't know what to believe it or not. But we left there because you don't see an angel every day. So we left there to go see what it really was. And we went to the shepherds. The shepherds went to the manger scene. And they found it. Jesus is here. How can a bunch of shepherds, the lowest of the low, in their society, be so excited because they saw the Christ child? See, they met him. Let that stick in your mind. When you meet Jesus, he makes a difference in your life. When you meet Jesus, there's a change in you. You don't want to be silent anymore. You don't mind speaking up for Jesus. Listen, the devil wants to convince us that we're no good, we're unworthy, that we'll never be good Christians. The best Christians are the ones who realize how unworthy and undone we are, and we trust God anyway. It's something special about being a sinner and a saint at the same time. That we're somehow a sinner, but we're justified in Christ. One that holds us submission to God. That holds us in this humility with God. That it's not all about us. It's all about Him. And the grace that saved us will save you, world. How much do you have to hate someone not to tell them about Jesus? How much do you have to hate them? Brother Kevin, they might reject us. They're going to hell. If they're going to hell, what's there to reject? How much do we have to hate the people of the world not to want them to meet the same Jesus that we met? Not to have their sins forgiven? How much do we have to hate them? Because the same grace that God gave to us to save our wretched soul, lost, going to hell, can save them too. And that as long as we do not share the gospel, we'll never know the joy and the transformation that can happen in our life. You know, it's really sad is one day that person that we work with, went to school with, day in and day out, and we're professing ourselves to be a Christian, and that person is lost. And the Lord spares them, and years later they come to know Christ. What if they walk up to us and say, I was with you every day. We were good friends, but you never told me about Jesus. You know, I'd rather lose a good friend trying to tell them about Jesus than patting them on the back, allowing them to go their separate ways to hell for all eternity, and just try to be a friend to them. No, you see, we're challenged. Christmas challenges us to engage the world. Not about us, but about Jesus. Oh, God wants relationship with all, for the whosoever's in the world. I love what verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. See, the people's reaction was amazement. He couldn't believe that the shepherds heard from the angels, and they took the journey over and they met Jesus face to face like that in the manger, and they come back and they tell others and they were amazed. How many people will be amazed because of the story that Christ has changed your life? This same Jesus can change theirs. There'll be some who reject you. There'll be some who walk away from you. Oh, but there will be some who are amazed and want that Jesus in their life. You can't save them. You can't even bring them to salvation. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But the Holy Spirit is wanting you and wanting me to make the connection. The shepherd praised God and exalted him because of his great gift of the Messiah. What about you? Are you excited that Jesus saved you? Are you excited? So we come to church, this should be a shout fest. I should have to do, hey, y'all quiet down so I can preach. You know? Where's excitement in our life? Or have we just become so numb and going through routine that we have forgotten what God has done in our life? Christian, or maybe you're sitting here today and you can't even remember a time, not one, that you repented of your sins, believing Jesus as Savior, and you invited him into your life, that you took hold of what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross, and you claimed it for yourself. Lord, save me, I'll follow you. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe this morning, that's where you're at, says, I need Jesus. I don't have a story to tell because I've never met Christ. I've just done religion. I've just done the Christian thing. But I don't know Jesus. You see, we're called to live Christ out loud. Elton Trueblood said it this way: evangelism is not a professional job of a few trained men, but is instead the unrelenting responsibility of every person who belongs to the company of Jesus. You see, we are those shepherds of modern day. We are those shepherds. When you come face to face with Jesus, you leave changed. And you don't care really what people think about you. You just want Christ glorified in your life. You want Christ's name made big in this world. Not that God needs you to make him big, to make himself feel good about himself. No. But you have the privilege of glorifying him. You have the honor of glorifying him. Oh, what a beautiful thing of your life. What a beautiful place in God's kingdom that you have to give God glory with the person he's made you and the soul that he saved. See, it's our challenge to reach others with the love of Christ, inviting the whosoever's to come to salvation. Dr. Vance Havner said it this way: it is not our business to make the message acceptable, but to make it available. We're not to see that they like it, but that they get it. Try preaching a little while. You'll find some people who don't like it. They don't like the message, and they don't like you. It's not our job to make people like us. It's not our job to make them like the gospel message. Why? Because it goes against their selfish nature to be in control, because God is wanting lordship. No, I want to be in control of my life. God says, no, that's impossible. I must have control of your life. You were bought at a price. You see, Christmas challenges us to move beyond our comfort zone and engage this world with the unconditional love that God has in Jesus, so that the world be not destitute in its sins, but that people, one by one, every soul matters, will come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're challenged to accept a miracle, Christians. We're challenged to accept Jesus Christ. And we're challenged to engage this world in the gospel message of Christ. How are you doing? Are you really being that messenger for Christ? Or are you struggling at all to open your mouth when people start talking about religion, is what they like to call it? Do you have a hard time just kind of closing up? Maybe you need the Holy Spirit just to give you the words and the utterance. Quit relying on yourself and start trusting Him. Say, Lord, I'm just going to stumble through this, but God, you have your way. And tell them about Jesus. Not in a condescending way, but in a loving way. The way that Jesus would approach them. Christmas challenges us to be a mouthpiece for the gospel of Christ. Do you know Jesus as your Savior today? And Christian, are you living it? Are you living as if Christ has made a difference in you? Are you living like those shepherds did when they met the baby Jesus face to face? Are you living like you've had an encounter with Christ? Maybe for you this Christmas is to recommit your life. Maybe you've gotten off track. You've allowed things of the world to come in play, and it's just kind of crowded Christ out. That's the beautiful thing about when we've been a prodigal, is that the Father invites us out of the pig pen and invites us home. Maybe we've just gotten so hushed by the world, and we need strength. We need endurance. We need to persevere. Whatever God is allowing and speaking to you about in your own life, may today be the day that you step up and say, Lord, Lord, count me in, count me worthy, give me the strength in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father God, today, these are your people who are called by your name. God, some are struggling with so many things in life that they've pushed you to the side. God, maybe some have been so into themselves, been living for themselves. God, today call them home to repentance. Or maybe there's some here this morning and they've been religious people. They've gone to church and they've done this and they've done that. And God, they've never had an encounter with you. They know a lot of things about you, but they don't know you. Oh, Father, today, have your way. In Jesus' name. This altar is open for you to come to pray. The Lord has